I would like to read to you this morning from the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 11 to 15. And I'd like us to consider this morning hospitality as a means to doing missions. Let's read Dr. Luke's diary, you could say, to us this morning. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the woman who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. When you begin to think of hospitality, I wonder what comes to your mind. For me, growing up, it was most often an event being Sunday. Sunday after church, you knew what was going to happen. You knew that company was going to come over, and at least in my house, there was cake and there was coffee, and I got to drink all the little dribs out of the cup at the end. And then it was cheese and crackers, and then you're going to stay for lunch, right? You couldn't just go after an hour visit. So then soup and buns began to come out. And then you're going to stay for cake and coffee, right? So we had cake and coffee again. Sundays were great. And then it was probably 2 o'clock. Church was at 6 again. "Why don't you stay for a snack?" So they did. Sundays were great. That was my taste of hospitality growing up. Maybe for you it is the smell of a fresh pie coming out of the oven as guests begin to arrive. Or maybe for you it is something more laborious where company's coming and you clean the baseboards, you bring out the nice china, the linen goes on the table. It's an all-out piece of work. Or maybe it's Martha Stewart, Good Housekeeping magazine. Just a whole lot of work. I wonder if the degree to which we have made hospitality moves away from the biblical understanding of hospitality. If you go back already to the Old Testament, they understood it. The New Testament church got it. If there was somebody in need, you simply gave them whatever they needed. You would never think about turning away a sojourner, somebody who needed a place to lay their head. You would never think about being too busy to walk away from somebody who needed somebody to talk to. Somebody who had a need. You wouldn't think about turning them away. And yet, I wonder if we've lost that idea of biblical hospitality. I mean, we big bigger fences, and on top of the fences, we put lattice so that we don't got to talk to our neighbors. We have big steel doors that protect our homes, and maybe if you've got a porch, you got a screen door and there's a lock, so you can even lock that so nobody even gets to your doorbell. I wonder if we need to reclaim the idea of purposeful living, of meaningful interactions with those around us. I want us to look at hospitality as mission this morning, and to look for the opportunities that are before you. There's going to be a map that's going to come up on the screen. Paul had already been to Jerusalem. They'd traveled up into Antioch. They'd been to several places within Turkey. And by the time you come to our passage, they are sailing up from Troas towards Philippi. Dr. Luke, whose account we read this morning, is his autobiography, his diary with great detail as to what happens. The gospel had already begun to make it into the Middle East, to Asia, to what we would know as parts of Europe today. And now they arrive in Philippi. It's about 51 AD. It's about 20, 21 years old or years after Jesus had died. And now they come and they arrive at Philippi. They're a little bit early in the week. They're beginning to scout out the area because they're there to share the gospel. They're there to plant a church. And they look around and they see a hodgepodge of religious things happening. Oh, there were worshipers of Mars and Demetri and Jupiter and Isis and some little unknown gods. But Paul and Silas and Timothy, they're shocked. There's no synagogue. They thought they would find a place of believers gathered together. I mean, Philippi was a growing place. It was a place of hustle and bustle. It only took 10 men to come together to form a synagogue. But there wasn't one. And so they go down to the river. There had to be people down by the river who were praying. There had to have been some men of the Jewish faith. But they go down to the river. And there's not men there. There's about four women there, one of them being a woman called Lydia. And Paul enters into a story, her story. He's not too busy, but he sits down with Lydia and the women that were there, and he begins to tell them about Jesus, about his life and his death and his resurrection and his ascension. About the pouring out of the Spirit of God. And Lydia gets so overwhelmed with the gospel. She falls so in love with this Jesus of Nazareth that as the Spirit of God moved in her story, she comes to faith right then and there. And she believed. We're not told whether she was married. We don't know if she had kids. But this good news of the gospel is so good that she asks to be baptized. Not only her, but her household. And she was a wealthy woman. She would have had employees living with her. She would have most likely had slaves and of servants. And we learn that she and all of her house were baptized. And the next thing we know is that as Paul invested within her story, she wants to invest in their story. And she not only invited them to come, but she persuaded them. She wasn't going to take no for an answer. She wanted to bless them. She wanted to encourage them. She wanted them to have a place that they could be replenished and refueled for the gospel. The story moves on. And Paul and Silas and Timothy continue to tell the story of faith, and people are coming to faith. They go on and they have this encounter, and I know I'm jumping ahead in the book of Acts. And they cast out this demon out of this woman, and they're arrested for it. And they realize they got to get out of town. And so they go to a town not that far away and they continue to share. And Paul gets arrested again. We're moving ahead in the story. And Paul goes back and he does missions. It's now about 61 AD. And Paul receives a letter. And he receives gifts. Can you picture it? Out of that wonderful moment, out of that opportunity for Paul simply entering the story of a woman named Lydia, God did something very profound. He built a church. Can you picture it? Paul now, 10 years later, gets a letter. And there's elders, and there's deacons, and there's leaders. The church has become financially viable, not so much that they're not only doing their own ministry, but they're supporting Paul within his. All because of a moment where Paul began to enter into the story of a woman named Lydia. I wonder what would have happened if there would have been no Lydia in Philippi. What would have happened if Lydia had not been down by the river? What would have happened if Paul would not have sat down with her and shared the story of faith? What if the gospel had not come to our part of the world? Do you remember there's a lower story and there's an upper story in the Bible? The lower story is all about the Spirit of God moving and building his church by using Paul to come to Lydia and using an unlikely character to build a church. But I want you to think of the bigger story for what this means to our lives this morning. How is God calling you and I this morning to take the time to live not busy lives, but purposeful lives? Purposeful lives that we have the time to sit with the Lydias of the world, to have the time to tell the story of faith, to not be too busy to listen to people's stories, to not be too busy to simply be with people, to be the Pauls of the world. In the cubicles that are next to us, in the registers in the stores that we work at, in the classrooms next to us, to the business colleagues that we deal with, to the neighbors to whom we interact. Are we making time to live purposeful lives like the first hearers of this passage would have understood, where community and being together and not closing your door or turning people away was part of the everyday fabric? That hospitality was a refreshing moment for Paul and Timothy and Silas. And they were blessed dramatically by Lydia, as she was by Paul and the group coming around and telling the story of faith. What might God do if we come to those places we've just mentioned and to begin to tell the story of faith? Because we just can't keep silent. Hospitality, I believe, is the best model for doing missions. Here was a woman, a seller of high-end items. The purple cloth was one of the most expensive items in the day. Somehow, as a woman, she made it in the business world in a culture where this was not common. She's done very well for herself. She is living the Roman dream. Her business is successful. She's got what we believe is a beautiful home. She's got people under her. She's got servants taking care of all the little details. But our passage says is that she was a worshiper or an inquirer or a seeker of God. And God used Paul and his group to help lead her to faith. But what I love is this, is that as the Spirit of God moved, her heart was so touched by God that not only could she not keep quiet. She had to invite people into her home. She had to invite Paul in the group because she knew there was a need. What are the needs in our neighborhoods where God is calling us to step out and to be the Lydias of the world? That we're so persuasive that we're going to invite people to come into our homes, in our churches, in our community. Because you got to picture it. Paul and his group, they're tired emotionally, physically, spiritually. And here comes this woman. And she says, you know what? Come and stay and you can be replenished. It wasn't the only time, some commentators believe. Because when they came back again, some commentators will tell you that they would be saying, ah, you remember Lydia? Remember how she opened herself to us? Why don't we go there? Because we'll know we'll be replenished and renewed. Did you know that the idea of hospitality has at its very root the idea of hospice, of being a hospital where we can be strengthened and nurtured and edified, where you leave healthier when you leave than when you came? Are our lives, is this church a hospital for hungry and hurting and needy souls? The amazing effectiveness is incredible. Next week, we have a great opportunity. We are going to have a luncheon together, and hopefully you're all coming because it's going to be great. And we might even let you in the bouncy castle. And it's going to be a great time to eat together. You're ready to go in it, aren't you, Derek? You're smiling. You know, but we're going to do life together. And it's going to be a chance for us to connect with people that we don't normally connect with. We're going to be able to move out of our comfort zones. And hospitality is risky to people that we don't know, and build new relationships and learn from each other. And it's going to be a picture of this church being a welcoming and a warm and an encouraging place where people just want to come and, like Lydia, to meet Jesus. We're going to do that with our small groups. We're going to open our homes. And we're going to talk about conquering the Goliaths in our lives. And we're going to be able to enter into each other's stories and walk and encourage and build each other in our own homes. And it doesn't matter if there's dust, or if the nice tablecloth isn't out, or maybe there's just enough food. You know what? It's simply the idea of you and I being together and doing life. Hospitality, I believe, is a stepping stone for the church to enter into building disciples of Jesus Christ. Because picture the natural response. Lydia heard, she came to faith, and she joined in mission. And she understood the cultural context. The best way to do that was by opening your home and making your place a place of ministry. And watch how the Spirit of God moves, as he did in our passage, to a gospel that is so rich and wonderful and life-giving and transformational. And ask yourself this question. Is our life so busy? Or is our life, our home, and our church purposeful in building the kingdom of God? Amen. We're going to pray this morning, and I know I'm a week and a half late with this, but 2 weeks ago, I didn't announce it because I know, Peter and Everett, you were having a surprise gathering with your kids, and if I said something, I probably would have blown it. You were gone last week, but for those of you that don't know, is about 2 weeks ago, Peter and Evie celebrated their 25th wedding anniversary. So belated congratulations.
And we just want to give thanks because 25 years, that's a long time. And I don't know if that's why you sent Peter out to the hall to be the door monitor today or what's up with that, but yeah, I know, I hear you. But again, belated congratulations for that. Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, we want to give you thanks that you are the giver of all good gifts. Lord, we thank you for anniversaries, even belated congratulatory anniversaries. We thank you for 25 years for Peter and Evie. As they are now in their 26th year, Lord, we pray that you would bless them with many more years together. That their marriage, much like their home, is a place where you feel welcome and blessed and encouraged. And we just pray that you would just continue to nurture their marriage and that it would be a wonderful witness to your sustaining grace. And Lord, we think of that sustaining grace in the life of this church. Lord, as we begin to enter into the busy ministry season, Lord, we just pray that you would just bring the kids in droves. And that, Lord, as leaders, we gather around them in the various programs, that there would be much excitement. That you would prepare our hearts and our story to welcome children, some who are like us, some who are very different than us. And that, Lord, they would feel loved and belonging and accepted here. Because of that acceptance, Lord, not only with the youth, but in our worship times, that all who gathered here would be open to receive the story of the gospel. And that it would ignite in us a passion to not be busy, but to be purposeful. And that, Lord, in this coming week, we would find time in the busyness of our stories, whether it be in our home, whether it's taking somebody out for lunch, whether it's having coffee, whether it's sitting on our front deck, or the patio, or whatever it is in our front yards, just connecting with our neighbors. That, Lord, we can intentionally build relationships where the seeds of faith can begin to be planted, where a relationship can be built, where we have the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel. And so, Lord, we pray that not only for this church, but, Lord, we pray that for our very lives as well, that you would use us, that you would use our homes, that you would use this church to build your kingdom, and that people would be better off. They'd be stronger. They'd be more encouraged because we've had an encounter together so that we could point others to you. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for grace. In your name we pray. Amen.